Well, and I know throughout your journey, you were very transparent. You shared a lot on your Facebook and Instagram page, and I know that it got a lot of great feedback.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of women who have reached out and said, how do I start? I feel I am where you were. What do I do? And of course, I just share with them, you know, two books that I read. I read This Naked Mind by Annie Grace, I think is the author's name. I tell people the first two chapters are going to make you feel like an alcoholic, because you probably are. And then after that, it gets a lot better. And then I read Sober Diaries. It's hysterical.
Really?
Oh my God. It's her journey to sobriety over the course of a year. It's hilarious. So I read those two books, and I had been toying with the idea for probably like a month. And then I finally just like ripped the bandaid off and quit drinking. But I also have had people reach out to me and say, you share your story as if anyone can just quit drinking. And I always tell people I was not an alcoholic. I think most people are pretty high functioning alcoholics. You know, I've spent over a year now really spending time understanding this whole scenario we have in society. And so I think most people are functionally alcoholic. Mm-hmm. You drink too much. Most people drink too much. And it's the only thing you quit that people ask you why. The only drug in the whole world that you quit and people say, why?
I hadn't really thought about it that way, but you are exactly right.
It is the only thing you quit. If you're a woman, they say you must be pregnant. That's the only reason you would quit drinking. Oh, are you pregnant? No, I just didn't. It wasn't serving me anymore. Mm-hmm. And then the rebuttal that comes when you tell people your reason, which is my reason, is it was a habit I had that was no longer serving me. And I always tell people, if you're looking to go onto this journey, I want you to get your why, because people are going to question your why a lot, because it is the only thing in society that is not good for you that people will question why you did it. The rebuttal almost always when you share your why is someone justifying why they consume alcohol. My kids, I can't even imagine. How would you deal? They give some reason why to justify why they drink. And I don't share that I don't drink to make you feel like you shouldn't drink. Mm-hmm. But people feel instantaneously and innately responsible for sharing their why.
Yeah.
Because it's like this unknowing guilt just kind of bubbles up.
It's like the meme we see on Facebook, and I don't know exactly verbatim, but something along the lines of if the shoe fits, mm-hmm, kind of a thing. You know, you'll post something and inevitably
someone's offended. Yeah, no.
And then you're like, oh my gosh, I wasn't even thinking of you when I made that post, but it's like the shoe fits.
Lace it up, girlfriend.
And so I think that in that case, when you're sharing your story, there may have been people who kind of felt like, crap, I am in the same boat. I'm doing the same bad behaviors.
They've said to me, well, you're acting like an alcoholic can just quit drinking. And I said, no, I'm not acting like that. I'm not an alcoholic. And I certainly didn't do the 12 steps and go to AA. I woke up on Mother's Day morning, I quit drinking, and I never drink again. I was not an alcoholic.
Right.
If I had been a true alcoholic, the process would have been more challenging than that. So I always apologize to people if the perception from listening to my story was that I did do that. Mm-hmm. You know, that was not the intention of sharing my story, but I can name multiple moms right now that quit drinking because of my story.
It's only a shame that you've had to apologize for that at all, though, Sarah. Yeah. I've been in the same boat, and maybe God gives us these seasons that we walk through and overcome, because then we do have our own story. I know that for me, one of my stories is being able to co-parent so effectively and so lovingly with my ex-husband. We have a great relationship. We have a friendship.
And you had to grow into that, though.
We had to grow into that. It certainly didn't happen overnight. The fact that one of us didn't kill the other one and we're alive to even tell about it is really a miracle in and of itself. But we are a really shining example of co-parents. And I don't say that to boast or brag, because it took a lot of intentional work to get there, a lot of forgiveness, therapy being one of those things. But I will share sometimes my story, and most people will be very celebratory. That's so wonderful. You know, you guys are doing such a great job by your daughter to be so loving and kind. But you'll always have those people, and they never really come out publicly. It's usually in like a private message or something wicked like that, that lets you know that, well, not everyone's story is the same. I'm not saying that our stories are the same.
And I'm not sharing my truth for a form of comparison to yours.
Right.
We're walking on separate paths.
Yes.
But if my story can help sponsor someone else to step into their light, what is the harm? You know?
Right.
That's how I look at it. Me sharing my story has changed someone else's life. And so my job is done.
That's it.
And so I will continue to share my story, because if it can affect any kind of positive change, then why wouldn't we?
And I think your story is empowering, even if it's not the subject of drinking.
Yeah, it's just changing habits.
I mean, somebody else may not drink at all, but they hear your story and they're like, you know, I know what my vice, my issue is.
that unhealthy habit.
What can I do to walk away from that and be a stronger, better person overall? So, you know, I don't think that you should even apologize for the people who don't get that, because it's really shame on them, not shame on you.
And you're true. And I think the apology comes from a place of like miscommunication. I'm sorry that you took it that way.
Sure.
We cannot be responsible for other people's feelings. Mm-hmm. That load is way too heavy.
Yeah.
No.
I think women carry that.
Oh my God.
It becomes such a burden. It's so heavy. Yes.
And so I'm not responsible for your feelings.
Right.
And I say that now.
I think sometimes saying things out loud, I know for me, makes it real. And I think to communicate to our spouses that same way and out loud say, I can't be held accountable for this.
I am sorry that my actions or my lack of actions have resulted in you feeling this way. I am sorry. I hold remorse for that, but I am not responsible for how you feel. One person cannot make another person feel a certain way. We have to own our own feelings. We have to own our own journey. You can't be offended by other people on the internet. Like, if you're giving away all that power, like, allow other people to control your feelings, you're giving away all of your power. And we're human, and that does happen to all of us. But I try really hard to not let other people, and I'm not perfect, but I try to not let other people and their actions dictate my feelings. If I'm sad, I need to take responsibility for my sadness because it is my reaction to a situation. Someone didn't make me feel sad.
Right.
I feel sad because it's my response to something.
Well, and if you're in a place in your life where you're very sensitive to other people's thoughts or opinions or comments, maybe social media is a thing that someone may want to consider giving up, because that's not really a great place to go if you're already feeling a little sensitive to begin with.
Well, and when you're in those depths of depression or a doom and gloom, the last thing you need to do is watch highlight reels and get this misguided interpretation of how great everyone else is doing, because it's not accurate.
No. I mean, I, for one, have been following your journey, and I commend you for being so transparent. I'm a firm believer in being transparent.
I'm allowed to have an opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm allowed to be an independent person and still represent a brand or still represent a business. We are allowed to have thoughts that are independent of one another, but people have a really hard time putting things in silos.
They do. They do. I have had people reach out to me personally and say, as a business person, as a magazine publisher, you should never have posted this. I can't believe that you would have even put that out there, that you're, you know, you believe in X, Y, or Z, or that you're advocating for this. I'm like, oh, well, me as the person, as Kelly, you know, these are the things important to me. As a business person, these are the things that are important to me, and not even so much me, but to the people who do business with me. I'm representing them on this side of things. But you're right. It's a very blurred line, and people do struggle with that. And I would hope that people would want to still do business with me because they see me as a strong business person.
Opinion and action are two very separate things. And so I think people have just because I believe a certain thing and I follow a certain ideology, that is separate from actions that a person takes that may or may not represent that ideology, but are a little more drastic or a little bit more, you know, out of the box. And so God forbid, y'all, that we share that we like purple instead of yellow.
Yeah.
I just like purple.
Right.
And you like yellow.
That's where we're at. And I think because of that, so many people, women especially, won't post.
No, they're muted.
They won't share their stories. They censor themselves. And that's why, you know, I say to you, I hope that you never let that really worry you so much so that you decide not to continue to share your journey, because it is doing so much to help certain people even beyond what you may even realize. Yeah. And, you know, give other women permission. You know, if you're listening and you have a story to tell, you may be so afraid to share that story because of the condemnation that you think you'll receive. But I can guarantee you there is someone out there
who
you will save, who you'll literally save.
Socially, I have very few, if any, hateful comment on a post I've posted about in my journey with sobriety and just, you know, being authentically raw in the last 13 months. I haven't had a single negative comment. I've gotten messages that are to check my position on things or whatever, but I've never had a publicly facing negative comment.
Right.
And I think in part because, like, who's going to be the one negative Ned when there's like a field full of people who are like, rock on, sister.
Sure. Well, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They cowardly send you something privately.
Yeah. Because no one's going to write that up when you're, because you look like an idiot, right?
Yeah.
It's much easier to jump on that negative bandwagon when there's already been people who've worked through it, you know?
Yeah.
If everyone would be a little bit more, just a 1% more authentic, things would be easier for everyone, because we would all realize that it's not so perfect.
Sure.
I compare myself to other women all the time in a diminishing perspective. Like, I am by no means this super confident. I'm constantly comparing myself, my body, my physique, my mental capacity, my parenting, all of those things. We do this. All of us do this.
Yeah.
And I try hard to check myself and get myself back in line and say, stop comparing yourself. You know, her ass is tighter than yours. It's just lucky her. It is what it is, you know, yeah. But it's hard. And we do it. I don't even know where it comes from because I'm raising daughters. And so if I could figure out the special sauce to like not make my daughters feel the need to compare themselves to their peers, I would do it because mm-hmm. it's really hard and men don't do it nearly as much. So they like don't get it, you know?
Right.
And if you're not strong enough, it's consuming.
It is.
It takes you down. And you just cry in your bathtub.
It's hard being a woman. It's hard raising young women.
Girls are mean. Women are mean. I think when you get into adulthood and you can find your crew, it gets easier.
Yeah.
Because you get to be in more control of who you spend your time with. Right. As an adult, you and me can be like, nah, girl, I'm good. I am not going to lunch with you. You know, and you can decide the level of friendship you have. You know, I have a friend, Tyla, who is in the community. And she and I are friends that can sit down and catch up, but also don't have to talk forever. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Those are the best.
And so some would say that's like a superficial relationship. No. But I actually think it's more of like a genuine relationship that I can just kind of, we can touch base and pick up, you know?
You're both busy, right?
Yeah,
you both have
right.
things going on.
And so I can text her like today earlier and just send her like a picture and she's like, oh my God, I love you. But I can decide to have a relationship with that person as an adult female.
Yeah.
And I can 100% decide people I don't want to have a relationship with because we're grown-ups.
That's one of the best things about being grown up.
Is I can just be like, no, actually, I'm never going to spend time with you again.
Yeah, I love that.
And maybe we'll circle back around and maybe we can grow into each other again at a later date. That's happened to me in my life.
Well, people are different in different seasons.
For sure. And, you know, I have an individual in my life who I've recently been able to, I guess, hold conversation with that 18 months ago. I would have been like, it's a hard no.
It gets real as an adult.
Yeah.
I try to tell Lily all of the time that if she thinks her problems, because she'll say to me, I cannot wait to be an adult. And I'm like, yeah, I remember when I said that too. And she's thinking about all the great things about mm-hmm. being an adult, the freedom, the flexibility, the being able to jump in the car, go where you want. But she doesn't even realize half the crap that it comes with. And one of those things is other grown women. Mm-hmm. They're the worst. Some of the most hurtful, trying, defeating moments of my adult life have been at the hands of another woman. And I hate to say that because it's like, no, that can't be the case. But yeah.
Well, and in leadership, as a person in leadership, what I have, and I'm studying my doctorate, is in leadership and educational leadership. And have been asked to list, like make a plus delta and to put people who you aspire to lead, like who you have worked for. And I don't have anyone to put in that column. I have only ever worked for women, except for 3 months when I worked at Fort King Middle with Gary Smallridge, and he's great. And every woman I've worked for, and I won't say with because that would be assuming that we were in a partnership, which is not the case.
Right.
I have worked for is a weak, insecure female leader. And I am not weak. I am a very strong, passionate, articulate. I am not afraid to share what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling and how I would go about things. It's been a growth area of mine in my career and just as a person to be a little bit more timing with my mm-hmm. passion. But I've never worked for anyone that I aspire to be like, ever. No, no woman I've ever worked for have I been like, yeah, when I grow up. No, never happened for me, ever. And so you find yourself, you're like, this is as good as it gets. And they're demeaning. And then God forbid you be cute. You are not allowed to be cute and smart.
No.
Then women really hate you.
Right. That's why I keep a few extra pounds on me, just so that other women around me feel like I'm not as threatening.
But
that's my secret sauce right there.
I'm telling you. But most of the time, women are much more passive aggressive and behind your back rude. God forbid we actually told someone something about them to their face, you know? And that's how I am.
That's how I am.
I'll just rip that Band-Aid right off.
Let's just do it. Get it on the table.
And then we'll move
walk
on.
Away and be done with it.
That's how I am.
I'm not going to walk around trying to cost you your job.
No, let's address it.
Trying to set traps.
Let's just address it.
It is
like,
what it
sister,
is.
Sister, I don't really like the way you did that. Kind of not nice. And can we do it differently next time?
Right.
And
I have found in doing that and just bringing it to the table, usually there's either it's been miscommunicated. So the whole thing is a misunderstanding. 100%. Or it's like, okay, but where do we go from here? We can ask those questions, maybe find a solution. And maybe the solution is, listen, we just never speak to one another again, but fine. Let's not walk around town as, you know, enemies.
Enemies.
Because
Well, come on. Your girl is tapped out. I don't got the bandwidth to hate. I am tapped out. I got every ounce of energy I have is dedicated to mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. And so I have no extra bandwidth to carry hate in my heart right. for people. I truly don't. I don't hate anyone because I cannot carry that burden on my shoulders to carry that energy. It's way too much. Yeah. Like I'll address it and we move on. And yeah. like, you know, we just may very well never talk again, or we may grow back into a relationship, but I can't carry hate for you. Time is too precious. And yeah. what I have to spend my energy on is way more important than not liking you.
Well, I can say this about you, Sarah. You know, you're in your early 30s, and I feel like it took me a lot longer, probably closer to the end of my 30s. And I was just at a really different place too in my life. Yeah. Going through a divorce, there was a season there where if anybody met me during that season, and to this day, that's yeah. the only encounter they've had with me.
They think differently.
If they say something very, very bad about me, they're probably accurate. I was in a place where I was so hurt and so broken and numb that I was not the person you would want to encounter. I wasn't yeah. friendly. Not that I was out there, you know, slaying people left and no. right, but I had no interest in anything.
You had no Fs to give. Your pocket was fresh out.
It yeah. was done. I was empty. And so it's been nice to have some people circle around in my life at some point
and have come back
and say, I met you once before. And then I'll always say, okay, what was it between these years?
Yeah.
Because if it was, I probably owe you an apology at some level. And I'm a different person yeah. now. And I think it's great when we have those opportunities.
Yeah. There is absolutely place and time to apologize for a time in your life when you behaved a certain way. Like mm-hmm. I am a different leader now than I was 3 years ago. And so there are moments. I could apologize for stuff last week probably. Like every yeah. moment is an opportunity for growth, right? Yeah. And so having opportunity for reconciliation or just an opportunity to say, you know what, I apologize for how that went.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't great.
Yeah.
I could have done better. I've grown from it. And I hope that in the future, you'll allow me an opportunity sure. to do better.
And there's a lot of growth in that. I mean, even just my most recent job where I feel like I was really mistreated. I mean, I was just completely mistreated, and you got to let that stuff go. Yeah. I mean, there's parts of me some days where I wake up and something happens and I'm resentful about that situation, but then I remind myself why I am so happy that the opportunities for me are different. My days look different. Yes. My peace looks different. So we just have to let stuff go.
When I left the school board for my leave, it was very abrupt because of the way that it had to happen. And so I went out like 3 days before Christmas break. And I had been on that leadership team at that school, which had been the same leadership team for 2.5 years. And almost no one even texted me a Merry Christmas. I hope you're feeling well. You know, I mean, nothing. So, you know, you step back and you're like, well, damn. Mm-hmm. All right. So this was all bull.
Yeah.
And so I can either hold on to this like, man, WTF, or you can be like, that's unfortunate for you
yeah.
because that speaks to the quality of human being you are. And if you had gone out on a 4-week leave, I would have 100% sent you a text message that said, Merry Christmas, or God, I hope you're okay.
Sure.
Or I don't know. I would at least have tried to see what something. Was going on to show pretend interest, right?
Yeah.
We'd work together side by side for 2.5 years, mm-hmm. like side by side. Yeah. And then nothing, like yeah. ghosted. And so you find yourself in a moment of reflection like, man, I guess that was all for nothing.
Yeah.
Right? There was nothing there. It was all fake. And so you can either hold on to that and carry that around and be angry, or you can be like, well, I know that I have genuine relationships. Right. And so now I run my own schools, right? I have 3 schools that I own. And so I text my employees at 2:00 if they called out that day and they're sick and say, how are you feeling? Not just because I want to know if they're coming to work tomorrow, but because I genuinely want to know if they're okay.
Sure.
I ask them to take the Enneagram quiz so I can know what kind of Enneagram they are and what their love language is.
Yeah.
Are you words of affirmation girl like me, or are you an acts of service? If I hang that thing in your room for you, are you going to be like literally like Sarah's the best boss ever, or do I need to tell you that I love you and you're doing a great job?
It's like having bad relationships to know when you're finally in a good one. It's the same yeah. thing with leadership. In those moments when mm-hmm. you really realize who people truly are, again, it helps make, for me, it made my circle much smaller and the quality went up and the quantity went down. And I am much happier now knowing these are my people.
Yep.
This is my crew. And anybody outside of that was just surface. They either needed something from me, and so there was a benefit, or
there wasn't much else.
Or there wasn't much else. Like, you're right.
There's no or. So anyhow, I, you know, I've always had a small, very intimate group because whatever, girls are not nice.
They're not. My circle seems to get smaller the older I get. on purpose, because every season that I go through of my life, I realize who my people are. And, you know, and every time I cut someone loose, I value the people who are still there so much more.
Yeah.
And make time for that small group to let them know, well, I really appreciate you. You are a true good person.
You've weathered series of life events together, right? Yeah. And so now I'm in my early 30s and I started having kids at 27. And so there are people in my family, photographer Isabel is one of them, that we have been in relationship, married, children, multiple children together. And so our relationship has evolved over the last 6 years. It's had to. And not every relationship does evolve.
Right.
You know, some relationships tap out. Like they do. And she and I don't parent the same. We do things differently. We're not by any means like lockstep in how we do life, but we appreciate the uniqueness of each other's journeys, and we have grown together and can appreciate. I can word vomit a long text about how much I'm, you know, mad at XYZ in my life, and it's appreciated. And girlfriend, I totally got you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I feel like as moms, we need those people who are our venting partners that we can just kind of like say, hey, can you meet me? Let's go on a walk. I have another girlfriend, Houston. That's what we do. We just like Thursday, 4 o'clock, let's go on a walk.
Yeah.
And we meet and we walk for 45 minutes and we talk about life and the positives and the negatives and, you know, a miscarriage or a pregnancy or whatever. And you share those things with each other and it's your person to share that thing with.
Yeah. It's safe. I love those types of friends. You can just be so real. You can talk about the most vulnerable, embarrassing, whatever it
is.
And
they're all very unique individuals. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's adult relationships are so different from like high school talking about your daughter, because in high school you're so clicky and things are, we're all athletes. We're all volleyball players. And it's like we all have these very common things among us. We live in the same place because we go to a school that is close to our home and we play volleyball and we're all this type of prey and we're all a decent achiever in school. And so we're all very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to have similarities with any of the people I'm friends with as an adult.
Right.
Right. Like we can all be so uniquely different and have commonalities that bring us together. But like, we do not have to have the same interests like at all. And we can still be friends as an adult, which is nice. You know, that I think that helps you grow as an individual when you can be a little bit more unique.
Yeah. 100%.
Not so cookie cutter.
Well, our young ladies have a long life ahead of them of learning, figuring these things out.
I'm like, God, what is high school going to be like in 10 years? I don't even know. I don't even want to know what it's going to be like. And then you have moments where like, you don't even want to make them victim to it, but they have to. That's the only way you're going to grow is to experience.
Sure. Absolutely. We have to subject them to it.
You want to like save them from it because it hurts.
You do.
But the only way we got here was by going through those experiences and growing through them. So you have to have those experiences, but dang, it's not fun.
I think just your own personal growth, your self-awareness, the dynamic that you have. I think that your girls will see you. They're seeing mom who's an advocate for education. She's a hard worker. She's a loving mom. She's not perfect. Sometimes she walks out of the house.
And I apologize to my kids.
I tell people
all the time, if you lose it and you yell at your kid, which by the way, no one should be sitting here and be like, I don't do that. Yes, you do.
Sure you do.
You owe your child an apology.
Right.
Right? And I apologize. And I say, you know what? I'm really sorry for yelling earlier. Mommy was very frustrated.
Yeah.
I was feeling very, very overwhelmed by the situation and that what we were going through was not working for me and I was having a hard time with it. And I apologize. You owe your child an apology.
Sure.
Your child is a human being.
Yes.
And you owe them an apology. Whatever action you do to your child, if you would apologize to an adult for behaving that way, you should apologize to your child for behaving that way.
Like, well, and then you're teaching them that when they become a parent, and yell at their child. And
just a human being,
which they will.
Or just when they become a human being, right?
Yeah. Like, they're going to lose it. That's normal. Yes. So come back and say, hey.
Circle back and I'm sorry.
I do it all the time.
You have to own it, though. Like, pretending as if you are allowed to act in any manner you want and then holding your children to a different set of expectations is not ever going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot expect your children, who are going to mimic and replicate the behavior that you exhibit, to act differently than you.
Right. No, they're watching us. They're little sponges.
You bring yourself onto the table and are completely disengaged from a meal and then are disappointed when your child has nothing to share about their day.
Right.
Sorry, but you just acted like you were completely checked out. Why would you expect your child to act like they want to be a part of something?
Well,
and then when they become 10, 15 years old and they're completely glued to a device or a Xbox or this or that, mm-hmm. and you want to know why they won't check in with you, it's because you've been checked out for years.
That's right.
And it doesn't make one thing good or bad. I'm just saying that that action is a reaction to what you have done.
Sure.
So, sure, you can do that. I'm not here to judge you, but just know that there's reactions to every action.
Well,
that's why.
Your girls are watching you.
Always.
I know Lily's watching me. That's why I try very hard to, if nothing else, be authentic.
Yes.
When I'm authentically good, she knows it. When I'm authentically at my lowest, she sees it. She knows it. She knows my apologies are sincere because I don't pass them out unless they are sincere. Mm-hmm. I don't just apologize to be apologizing. You know, we change our behavior after we apologize.
Yes.
There's a lot going on. Your girls are watching you. They're watching your story. I'm sure they're watching the people around you mm-hmm. respond to you in positive ways. And so I think you're doing great. You know,
thank
that's
you.
Why I just wanted to have you here today to share the ups and downs, you know, the highs and lows, the hills and valleys, because we all walk through them. And
oh, yeah.
I think so often people see someone like you and they're like, God, Sarah has got it all together. Her life must be so perfect. Mm-hmm. And when in reality, it's just a mess that you keep somehow
just
cleaning up and sweeping into a nice tidy pile. And then the wind blows and it's a disaster again. And that's okay.
For nothing else, if I can give positive impact and positive change to other people and make them feel more comfortable in their authenticity.
Yeah.
And more comfortable in their journey and their truth and just acknowledging that like their life is not perfect.
Right.
And it makes them a little bit better at their mm-hmm. job, whether that's being a mom or being a wife or or being a cat lover or whatever. But
whatever.
If you're more authentic in your journey, you're going to be a better human being on this planet.
Yeah.
So
the world needs more of that, more authenticity, just being real, being raw. I'd rather someone say, hey, I met Kelly. I don't really care for her, but know that the Kelly they don't care for was the real Kelly and not some representation.
Thereof. I was going to say, I don't care if everyone likes me. I do want to be liked. I think we all organically want to be liked.
I think so.
So that wouldn't be true. But I do think that I try not to give a ton of value to being liked.
Right.
It's nice when people like the type of person you are, but I think it's more important for you to like the type of person you are and stand in your truth. You know, hopefully everyone around you levels up and you grow together, right? That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Because if we grow independently, we grow apart. So we have to grow together.
Right.
Stay together.
And I think moments like this are valuable. You know, I do encourage people to have these types of conversations. They don't always have to be recorded on a podcast, obviously, but just to have those conversations with other
walk.
Women
yes.
and just let them know, like, I'm really struggling with this, and they may be struggling with it, or maybe they struggled with it at some point in their life and say, hey, listen, here's what helped me, you know, or just
take
to say,
a breath.
Yeah.
Just
to say, like, don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, chill out, give yourself permission to just be a
She's
little
like,
bit of a hot
you
mess.
You are the only person holding yourself to that expectation. Literally no one else expects you to do that except for
you. There's wisdom in that. So your mom is spot on.
No, for
she
sure.
Really is.
And so I've there's been many moments lately where she's like, Sarah, the only person who expects you to do that is you. You are the only person, and I'm losing my mind over things that I'm trying to get done. And she's like, the only person who expects you to do that today is you, because I woke up this morning and decided that that was an expectation I was going to set for myself. And we can be our worst enemies sometimes.
Moms are good at that, at checking us and keeping us sometimes in line.
My mom is definitely good at that.
Very, very blessed to have mine as well. But I want to thank you for being here today. Thank you for listening. I hope that you got something out of this. You know, I have a hard time believing anybody listened to any portion of this podcast and didn't at some point say, oh my God, that's me. Or, you know, I have those same struggles, or gosh, I wish, you know, I'm going to wake up tomorrow with a different attitude about something. And that's kind of the whole point of this and what we do is to share stories, connect with people and help everybody else. So I want to thank you for being here,
Absolutely.
Sarah,
thank you
and
for having
thank
me.
Everyone for listening, and have a great day.
Thanks.